4DJW Mobile.
Dave, K2RCU.
Quite a long time. How you doing?
And just going with the flow and trying to do as little as possible in as least amount of time as possible.
Two owners for a living?
Now that that thing's settled, I can actually talk about it. The company we were working for, man that owned it, apparently cheated on his wife, and she called him, took him for everything. He had to sell the company, and they didn't pay us the money they owed us, so we had to go through an attorney in California to finally get all that stuff settled. And now that it's settled, I can actually talk about it. But no, I'm not flying multi-rotors anymore.
Well, I know that had to, well, if it was me, that would have been the ultimate dream job. I don't know that it would have paid that good in the beginning, but eventually it would have picked up if it had kept going. But maybe you'll get lucky and you'll find another one.
Then helping a buddy of mine over here in Marietta, he opened up a taxidermy and deer processing place, and apparently he's having trouble finding people that know how to process deer, so I'm over here in Marietta helping him. We're fixing to get started about 9 o'clock this morning if he shows up on time.
Out of the spectrum to the other, isn't it? From high-tech to survival skills. You cover the whole spectrum.
That's interesting, you know? Just do something here, do something there, find something new, learn something new, and just keep going with the flow. How about you? How's things going for you and the missus?
Enjoying retirement. I'm not flying anymore near as much as I wish I was, but that's because I got a good job working on a preamp on a for a audio person out in California. And I enjoyed that. We did that for about a year, and he still calls every now and then for tweaks. So, you know, it keeps you relevant, at least in the programming world, keeps you relevant. And now I've got an opportunity to put a multirotor to use for doing Doppler testing. So I had a hard drive go bad, and I'm replacing that computer now. And once I get that done, then I get the hex rotor out. And fit it with the tools that it needs to be able to do Doppler testing. Programmed fine, you know, like an octagon around a Doppler antenna to make sure that it is where it says it is and it says it is where it is.
I'll be doing some, basically a type of mapping software into the drone in order for it to fly a calculated route at calculated elevations, and you got it set up for imagery or video?
It started off with just, well, it has LIDAR positioning, plus it has GPS, and I use two GPSs, so instead of one, because two are better than one. One, every now and then, it gets a bad signal, and it jerks, and you don't like that, right? But two of them, if one doesn't validate the other one, then it says, yeah, I don't believe you, and it just continues on what it was doing. So two GPSs, LIDAR to look at the ground, and to know relative to where you started, where you're supposed to be, and then ever-expanding hexagons, right, or octagons, whatever it takes, probably octagons. So fly 8 points around a Doppler antenna, and when you're north, it should say north, and then when you're at 35 degrees or 45 degrees, it should say 45, and 90 should be 90, and so on, all the way around the circle, and then you expand that out to a larger radius and do the same thing over again. And I have found that in some instances, depending on your signal strength level and stuff like that, it can vary on the Doppler. So you got to do, you're doing what you say you're doing.
So when you're using the LIDAR, are you using ground reference points, or is it just set up in the software itself?
The LIDAR does that for two reasons. One is home point, to know where home point is. It gets you a little closer, a little more accurate on home point. We're talking about within a half a foot rather than a foot, right? We're talking about really, really decent, because if you throw a landing pad out there on the grass, you know, you don't want the rotors. These are carbon fiber blades, and you don't want to be hitting anything with them because it's hard on carbon fiber blades if they hit stuff. These aren't DJI products, right? This is a lot better than DJI products. But You don't. So you want to be within a half a foot of where you, when you land, you want to be within a half a foot of where you took off, or better. And LIDAR helps with that on the final stage. Plus, LIDAR also looks at how far you're going across the ground. And if the GPS says one thing and another GPS says something different, and the LIDAR confirms one of the two GPSs, then you go with the two that are confirmed. It's like a voting system. It helps with the GPS to validate the GPS is doing what it's supposed to be doing as well.
That makes sense. Yeah, I understand the whole concept of the landing zone. We were flying the Free Fly Astro platform when we were out in California, and those things, they're a little behind on technology, which I don't know now. I mean, it's been a year since we flew them. I'm sure they've had firmware updates and everything else, and they were in the process of building their own handheld controller. They were using the HearLink initially, but you could set the home point on those, and they would try to return to home, and they could be as much as 10 to 15 feet off. So you pretty much, if it ever went into failsafe and started returning to home, you had to switch it to manual mode and fly completely manually to get it back to the landing zone. Otherwise, it would land in the rocks or in the bushes or wherever it wanted to go.
On, and you had a GPS, and I don't know how your pilot, your autopilot worked, but with mine, I use Autopilot. And with Autopilot, it's got a house on the screen, and it's got an arrow that is sitting next to the house. And you rotate until the arrow is pointing at the house, and then you go forward. And eventually you will fly over yourself. So no problem, no matter how far out you are, you know, unless there's a signal, you know, as long as you've got a good signal, no matter how far out you are, you can always get home. You don't have to remember your orientation. I don't know if yours was that way or not.
Or they never gave us anything beyond visual line of sight. Everything we done, we had to do. Well, we were doing the utility inspections, the SEE, Southern California Edison out there, they required two people, one pilot, one visual observer. And the visual observer had to keep an eye on the aircraft at all times. And then the pilot would watch the screen and line up all the images, because we were using a full-frame DSLR camera on the bottom of the aircraft to take pictures. So we were taking like 48 megapixel pictures, and they could zoom in on those and count the threads on the bolts, especially on those big 500 kV towers when we would fly those. But the aircraft itself just, it was not very stable in the air. It would drift when it was in a hover mode, and it, you really had to pay attention to it and really fly it. They crashed, I don't know, five or six of them at 25 grand a piece and totaled them. So I think that might have been a turnoff, but at the time, they wouldn't let us use DJI products at all.
DJI, that, well, my wife bought me a couple of them, and I played with them, and they did decent. They do okay. But I never really, mine was just a Spark and a Mini, a Mavic Mini, you know, the two sticks of butter weight. And when I was doing all of my flying and with goggles on before, it was before all of this FAA intervention. And you didn't have to, you know, I could fly up 2,500 feet with a J3 Cub and a 2-meter crossband repeater in it and talk to many different states from up high in the sky like that. And there wasn't breaking any FAA rules back then. But then DJI came out with all these products, and everybody started buying them, and people that didn't know how to fly started flying them, and then trouble set in, and the whole world changed. So, yeah, I got to be compliant with all that stuff. I'm holding off on getting my 109 because I have more privileges when I'm recreation than when I go 109, then I got to buckle down. And I don't want to quite do that yet. So, still recreational flight, but... And that's the reason for those twitches, that's why I went with two GPSs and LIDAR, because that solved that problem. I had the same problem even with Autopilot. And I am about here at the transfer station, so I'm going to be jumping out if you're still there when I get back and your 9 o'clock hasn't passed and you haven't gone to work, then I'll pick you up on my way back. W4DJW.
Dave, hope everything goes smooth for you. It was enjoyable talking to you again this morning. I try to get on here every once in a while. I'll let you get to it. I'll say 73s and K2RCL will be clear.
You're in the area. You're back in the area. K2RCL, W4DJ, W clear.
KO4HK. Dusty, you still there?
Be just before I turn the key off.
Friend.
My 1 to 2 days helping out has turned into 5 days a week helping out. So if I ain't here, I'm at home doing stuff on the honey-do list.
It's the season for what you're doing, so. But I won't hold you. I just wanted to say hello. I heard you were getting ready to head into work. So you take care of yourself, and good to hear you on the air.
Y'all be safe out there. Watch all the crazies. You know, everybody's Christmas shopping now, so you got to pay attention. But this will be K2RCL, and I'll be clear. 73.
73, KO4HK.